Footy Roundup back with you. Rob Serjanik here, joined always by Matt Tidcombe. Thanks again for listening. The beginnings of the World Cup has just been marred with excitement, upsets, unfortunate refereeing controversy. That's been the name of the game thus far, Matt. It continued with some more controversy, I suppose, of sorts, even though you and I are in agreeance on this matter. Luis Suarez suspended 9 games, 4 months out total, including club, for his bite on Chiellini in the Italy match. What are your thoughts on the ruling?
I think the ruling's pretty much on the money. I think it could have been a tad longer, in my opinion, maybe up towards 6 months, because he's a free-time offender now. It's just nice to see that FIFA really came down on him hard, since I think some of us were worried that it would be a very small suspension.
I was very worried about that.
Because he's obviously one of the best players in the world right now. So it's great to see he's come down hard. You know, my problem, I guess, is that how much of an effect it's going to have on his Liverpool teammates. You know, Liverpool are now in the Champions League next season too. So no Luis Suarez for the 3 Champions League games and 6 Premier League games, according to this ruling, which is a tough break for Liverpool, considering how well they played last year to make it back into the top level of European football.
It's a tough break for Uruguay as well. Where I feel a little bit less remorse, I guess, for the decision is the response in Uruguay that I've been reading and seeing.
Yeah,
I think
definitely.
Has been tremendously disappointing from the top of the federation. Lugano, an outspoken defender on the team, was defending him, as well as the Uruguayan coach. I read a TSN.ca article where they quoted a fruit and vegetable vendor in Uruguay saying this was a grand conspiracy against the Uruguayan team. I want to ask you, in what world and what point in time did a fruit and vegetable vendor become a credible soccer source?
I don't think ever. I think we can maybe just skip over that fact and pretend that's not in that story. I don't see how Uruguay can defend him, how there's like some massive corruption against Uruguay. I mean, at the end of the day, if he doesn't bite someone, Suarez is playing, and there's no big hoo-ha about this. I mean, it's pretty straightforward.
Not to mention,
opinion.
This is a third time.
Well,
this
exactly.
isn't a one-time deal here where they came down, you know, with the gavel on him. I agree with you. I think it could have and probably should have been more. I'm satisfied with the ruling as is, and I think Uruguay and Suarez themselves, it would benefit them to take some responsibility for this amongst their own team and their own player instead of pointing fingers at other people. Like you said it best, no bite, no suspension. And I don't see where the grand conspiracy comes in, considering they've kicked out 2 of the most prominent teams in the tournament in the group stage.
Right. And I mean, furthermore to that, I mean, it's not just like he's been biting people. He's a racist. His antics at the last World Cup with the handball and all that.
A lot of the diving as well.
The diving obviously is a major thing with him. It's a shame because he's such a great player and he just constantly puts himself in this situation. I mean, he's out of football now for 4 months. He can't train. He can't do anything football related. So, you know, he's gone for the next 4 months. Bye-bye. I mean, it's deserved. I guess apart from some Uruguayans, I don't think anyone can really argue with this.
To me, I mean, he's proven himself to be a certifiable imbecile at this point.
Yeah,
if,
definitely.
If you don't learn now for the first time costing your country, you're never going to learn. I mean, at the end of the day, I think he maybe needs some help as well. Like, this is becoming a constant thing.
It seems to be his reaction is that when he just wants to bite. You know, some people push and shove, and sometimes you can get away with that. But
it's his way of dealing with frustration.
Exactly. Apparently, it's to bite people in the neck or on the. You know, it's mind-boggling that he's still doing this, and it's ruined his country and his club.
It reminds me a little bit of Totti's incident a number of years ago when he spat in another player's face. There's just no place for stuff like this in the sport.
Zidane's headbutt.
There's no place for it. Like, you just can't be behaving this way. And you can't be, it's not acceptable behavior at the end of the day. I don't think there's really any more or less to say about it than that.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's no excuse for it. You can't sit here and defend him. I mean, I pity the people who are sat here saying, you know, I'm on Suarez's side here. I mean, one time, okay, maybe it's a one-off thing, but it's a trend now.
I can tell you myself, if it was my country, I'm sure you'd be the exact same way. You'd be disgusted
totally
understanding and in approval of this type of man.
Yeah, absolutely. I you can't defend it. You can't comprehend it. It makes zero sense. I guess trying to move on to brighter things now, Rob. We've had some the group stage is over now. We just finished watching Algeria and their game against Russia.
Another upset.
Another team going through, which leads us right into our biggest surprises so far at the tournament. You know, there's been some disappointments, which we'll touch on very soon. But I guess biggest surprises, Rob, it's pretty simple. It's Costa Rica, Greece, and Algeria all making it into the round of 16 and then getting rid of some major teams in the process.
They're all surprising results to me. I believe that Costa Rica, I think, when you look at the group and the hands that they were dealt, was by far the most surprising.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, we had them. I think I said that they might get a draw. You said they might get a goal, like seven points, undefeated.
I'll take that one on me. I didn't expect anything like this from Costa Rica. When you have England, Uruguay, Italy, three of the top 15, 12 countries in the world.
In fairness, did anybody?
7 points, man.
I mean, if someone had predicted, I want to meet someone who honestly predicted Costa Rica to go through, not even just go through, but in convincing fashion, by far the best team in first place.
I've seen a few people here and there say, oh, and they might sneak in with a win and some other results and
undefeated?
Maybe a draw. But to go through with 7 points, beating Uruguay, incredible. Italy... Hey, England apparently aren't that bad anymore, considering we only drew of Costa Rica. We must be a bit better than we thought. So it's shocking to me. I think that's the biggest shock. We always said with the Greece group that any of those four teams could go through.
Yeah.
And so in a way, it's not a surprise. But I think the biggest problem here is how Greece got through. There's been some horrible decisions in this World Cup.
Are you saying it was a little bit greasy?
Oh, man.
Bad pun, I know. But
I'm not sure to applaud that or laugh at that one. It's the worst way. Ivory Coast were going through. They were about to make it into the round of 16 for the first time in their history. And a guy trips over his own feet, gets a penalty, and they tuck the penalty away, and Greece are into the round of 16. It's worst decision of the whole tournament.
I don't know how they keep doing it, to be honest. When we talked about this group before, I told you that they're an extremely sticky side. They're really compact and structured defensively. Tough to score, tough to break down. They've proven that yet again, but it just seems that they often find a way to just pull that result that just looks like it has no chance of happening.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost just like snatching like victory from the jaws of defeat, for lack of better terms. It's just crazy. Like they can get outpossessed, outchanced, you know, be sitting back and then bang, counter, penalty call, corner kick. And they just do it with some consistency. Like now the next round, I know we're sneaking ahead a little bit here, but they have a pretty, I think, favorable matchup with Costa Rica, as well as Costa Rica did in the first round. I would not be surprised to see Greece go through maybe on penalties in a 0-0 or 1-1 game.
No, I'm with you on that, and we will get to our round of 16 predictions at the end of the show. Greece is just, like you said, they're just so good defensively. They're just locked down that they can get these, they can scrape these 1-0 wins and 2-1 wins and grab a draw, and boom, bang, we're into the round of 16.
And then
literally at the
game,
last
yeah.
second.
And they probably have the most favorable matchup you could ask for on paper,
at least.
In the next
round, absolutely. I mean, Costa Rica and Greece are both licking their lips at the chance to make it to a quarterfinal in a World Cup.
The last one, Algeria. I don't know if I'm more impressed with Algeria or more disappointed in Russia. I think I'm more disappointed in Russia. They created absolutely nothing. Like,
they've been awful.
They're just one of the most boring teams to watch. Win, lose, or draw. Like every time every time a Russia game comes on, I'm just bored to tears almost.
Yeah, I had such high expectations for Russia. I was there last year, and their soccer is really coming along well. And they were awful. I can't comprehend how bad they were. Capello, just whatever his tactics were, maybe the message wasn't being received by his players. They were awful, and at the end of the day, you know, I think you got to give credit to Algeria here. I didn't expect this from them.
And they produced some goals, too. When
they
you looked at how long it took them to score, and then they scored a number, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, they played really well. I mean, at the end of the day, they deserve to be in the round of 16 because of how incompetent Russia were in this tournament.
Well, let's get into our disappointments, I guess, from our own biased perspectives a little bit, and just quickly, because they're not around anymore and they were both alive previously. Matt, what are your thoughts on England's tournament? I mean, I think both England and Croatia, they deservedly maybe feel a little hard done by with luck. And, you know, we discussed previously Croatia and Brazil's game, which we don't have to get back into.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, England had to take something from those first two games to make Costa Rica meaningful. Croatia, if you want to advance, really should be beating a team the quality of Mexico. Not a bad side, but I would say I think an average side. And a squad on paper, at least, that they should be able to handle. I just think at the end of the day, they're going to rue missed opportunities. And overall, they don't have anyone to blame really but themselves.
Well, yeah, I know you were saying yourself that, you know, Modric, Rakitic didn't really show up in the World Cup, and that's part of the reason. I think, you know,
best players have to be your best players.
Well, exactly. Look at England. Rooney didn't show up. He bagged a goal. You know, Gerrard was okay.
Up
I wouldn't
down,
say he
yeah.
was great. You know, I think basically for England, just quickly looking at them, is it's time to focus on 2016, bring in these young guys, get them rolling, and see what happens then. So, you know, Croatia, England, yeah, disappointments, but I think even bigger than that, you got to look at how bad Spain were. Portugal's disaster. You know, even the Ivory
Coast. They made it interesting, Portugal at least, but I mean, they put themselves right behind the eight ball with that horrible result against Germany.
Yeah, I mean, you get stuffed 4-0 in the first game, and I mean, that's half the reason they've gone out is on goal difference.
And I mean, Italy has every right to feel hard done by as well, but they also lost to Costa Rica, a game that should have been, like, they couldn't even pick up a point in that game.
Exactly. So, I mean, you can only blame themselves. There's no one else. It's their own fault. I mean, it's disappointing though, because there are so much expectations on those on these teams, and they've just been able to do nothing.
Interesting stat, Matt, just to throw out there for you as well as our listeners. You know, Croatia and England both obviously failed to win their final matches, and they both played in Manaus, and they both lost after Manaus. And yep. as it turns out, teams are 0-5, unable to win any games after playing in Manaus.
That tells you that's a story right there. That's not a one-off. That's a trend. Going back to the Suarez word I used earlier, that's not a coincidence.
Yeah, it's definitely a scheduling disadvantage.
The weather up there, how hot it is wow. It obviously has a big toll, not in just that game, but your next game after, no matter where you're playing. So I guess that kind of shows how bad the temperatures are affecting the players. You know, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I suppose our own disappointments aside, let's focus on the teams that are left. We do have the final 16. Actually, just moments ago, Algeria confirmed as the last entrant into the final 16. Quickly previewing the matchups, Maddie, we got Brazil and Chile on day one. What are you liking and looking at for in that game?
I think it's a great. It's two South American sides. You know, they go through qualifying together because of the way qualifying for the World Cup is set up in South America. You can't go wrong with two South Americans playing each other in a World Cup. It's going to be really good. People are probably going to automatically assume Brazil are going to win this game. I don't think they can. Chile have looked phenomenal. You know, they knocked off Spain. Obviously, beat out Australia too, and went out, graduated from Group B with the Netherlands. And, you know, we said in our preview show that Arturo Vidal is the biggest part of their team, and he's shown that so far in this World Cup. Alexis Sanchez, also someone we mentioned, is someone who really needs to step up, has been great. So,
oh, yeah.
I'll be honest, I think Brazil will win this game, but I don't think it's going to be a runaway. I think it's going to be really, really close.
I would expect Chile to give them a game as well. I know at the beginning I had pegged them as one of my dark horse teams to cause some problems. I also had, coincidentally enough, Brazil going all the way, so I guess I'm a little conflicted. I mean, a 3-2, I think it's going to be a high scoring game.
Yeah, I can see that. Neymar is one of the joint top goal scorer in the tournament so far with 4 goals. So, you know, I don't think goal scoring is going to be a problem here. I think both teams are going to create a lot of chances. It's going to be an end to end game. It should be pretty open. These teams know each other so well, as we mentioned, because they qualify together. They play each other with, you know, regularly. So, Brazil going through, I'm going to pick here, but do not write off Chile at all.
Yeah, I would expect Brazil to prevail here as well. The next matchup is Colombia and the previously mentioned Suarez-less
Uruguay.
I wasn't going to fancy Uruguay in this matchup, even with Suarez. I think Colombia, we can both agree, has been playing absolutely phenomenal football thus far, especially with Falcao out. It's been a really impressive performance. Jackson Martinez, Teofilo Gutierrez, who we talked about, have just been on point this whole tournament. Mm-hmm. I expect not like a blowout type game, but I think Colombia could comfortably defeat Uruguay in this situation.
You know, honestly, I was thinking Colombia might win this game, and I've had a change of heart here almost at the very last minute, and I'm going to give Uruguay the edge here.
You're going to think they're going to rally around Suarez-less team?
That, or the fact that Cavani might actually do something at this World Cup, and Diego Forlan might chip in, and Gonzalo Higuain, and these guys. And defensively, they're good. Lugano is good. Diego Godin is a fantastic defender. And Muslera in goal is iffy, shall we say. With Suarez, I absolutely would have picked Uruguay 100%. And I'm still picking Uruguay, though my confidence level is not as high as it should be, I guess. Colombia have been brilliant this tournament. I've been really, really impressed with them. So, and again, Roberts, it's another South American matchup. Which is a good thing for the World Cup. It's going to be great to see two South American teams as they play each other regularly, battling it out against for a place in the quarters.
Another pre-show change of heart from my compatriot, Matty.
Yeah.
We've had a few of these, and maybe sometimes, I guess, if you look at some of the results, we wish we could change back a second
Absolutely. Time. Our predictions weren't quite as accurate as we had hoped.
I think us and most others as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think Greece, Costa Rica, and Algeria for a lot of ranges in everyone's
brackets, for sure. What about Netherlands and Mexico? Mexico's played solid. They've only conceded one goal. I think their performance, to some degree, while good, has been overrated a little bit. Mm-hmm. They only beat Cameroon 1-0. I know there was the controversy of the offside goals, but Cameroon created some chances in that game as well. We both agreed that they're a little bit lucky, I think, to come away with the draw against Brazil. And I think even to some degree, Ochoa's performance in that game was also a little bit overvalued. Some of the chances kind of went right to him. They were good mm-hmm. saves, not spectacular saves. The Croatia game, I mean, it was the 71st minute, 0-0. Mexico knew a draw was good. Croatia had to open up, and they kind of hit them on the counter with the corner kick header goal. I think Holland has been fantastic.
Yeah,
I don't think anyone can disagree on that point. Having said that, I 100% see the Netherlands winning this game.
Yeah, me too. I think Netherlands just have too much. I've been really really impressed with them defensively. I know they've conceded, I guess, you know, they struggled a lot against Australia.
Yeah.
But then they beat Chile. So I think, and obviously they walloped Spain with only conceding a goal. And that was my biggest problem with the Netherlands, was how good they would be on defense. And they've really surprised me. They played really well defensively. And then you add in the fact that they're just scoring goals.
Yeah, I was going to say, if they keep scoring at this rate, say they get two goals against Mexico, is Mexico the offense to score 2-3 to win the game?
Well, I don't think they would.
No.
I think it basically comes down to how well Ochoa is going to play in goal for Mexico, really.
And then the next matchup, I guess the one that everyone had pegged from the beginning, Greece versus Costa Rica.
Yeah, well done if you picked that one, though. I don't think I'm going to believe you if you did.
What? I don't even know where to start on this game. I guess... Maybe beginning with Costa Rica, as we touched on briefly earlier, unreal how they've been playing.
It's,
you don't even have words.
Yeah, I don't think you do in a way. It's, I can never fathom this happening. You know, just 7 points out of possible 9 with 3 of the best
convincing
countries in the
world. As well.
They didn't look in any trouble.
No.
I think it's bad at FIFA, but it's also kind of hilarious how they took like almost half their squad for drug testing to make sure nothing's up with their team instead of the usual two, which
just
FIFA
adds
protocol.
To a little bit of those issues, I
exactly.
guess.
Exactly. It's another FIFA thing, yeah. Trying to add a bit of controversy, which is definitely unnecessary. Just tip your hat and say, man, well done, Costa Rica. They fully deserve this. They've shut out 3 great countries, moved on. And they're going to fancy their chances against Greece. I think Greece will shut them down, as we've said previously. I think they're close out their forwards, they'll shut down the pace of Joel Campbell, and then someone like Samaras will make a goal for Greece and pip Greece into the next round.
I think what's really unique about this particular matchup, other than the fact that obviously it wasn't predicted by, I'm going to assume, anybody, because yeah. It's just so off the radar here, I think it's the one matchup especially where both squads really feel like they got fortunate with who they drew to play. Like, they have to love their chances to progress from this.
Well,
neither of them picked up a Brazil or a Germany. They're looking at this like, this is a winnable game for us.
There's a small country making it into the quarterfinals here, 100%.
Yeah.
And Greece haven't had much success. They won the Euros in 2004, but they've done nothing really outside of that.
Even in this tournament, they progressed with a minus goal difference. It's been over 40 years since we've seen a team get out of the group stage with a minus
exactly,
goal difference.
Exactly, and literally a last second to make
last
it through
second.
As well. Literally the last second. So they're licking their chops, both these teams, because they will probably, I wouldn't say never, because nothing's impossible, but for a very long time, get a better chance to make a quarterfinal than they have this year.
I think I give the Greeks the slight edge here. Mm-hmm. I mean, personally, I would love to see this Costa Rica Cinderella run continue. I really enjoy the football they've been playing. I really like teams that open up and, you know, attack, and which is pretty much the antithesis of Greek football, not to take anything away from the results. But as a complete neutral, both of us at this point, I would love to see Costa Rica advance for the way they play. But I'm going to give the slight edge to the Greeks. I feel like maybe luck is on their side a little bit, and then the confidence grows from that luck. And you saw in 2004 what that can do for a squad.
Yeah, definitely. I'm with you. I do have Greece going through here. It's not a knock so much on Costa Rica. I just think as a matchup-wise, Costa Rica being such a smaller country, in terms of player stature, I should say, whereas Greeks are, you know, these dominant 6-footer, 6'5 guys just pounding away. I think Greece would be more physical with them, then knock them off the ball more. Like England, Italy, European countries, but they're not that physical nature that Greece are, per se.
Something interesting to consider, too, that no one's really talked about too much. This is probably going to be the first time Costa Rica's favored.
Yeah, and they will be favored, I think, because of basically who they knocked out. Not because they might necessarily be a better team, but because of where they've come from. And, you know, I would say they should be favored, really. But I got Greece going through here. It's going to be, I don't expect many goals in this game. This could be a 1-0. This could even be a penalty shootout.
I agree. It's going to be interesting to watch and see how Costa Rica deals with the difference of being the hunter versus the hunted. It's
exactly.
And when the expectations get raised. Moving on to the next game. Matt, I've seen enough of France now. I agree with you.
I told you, man. I told you.
I had
to
see a bit more, but after the walloping they put on the Swiss side, who I was impressed with the way they fought back in the final match as well to knock Ecuador out. And then, you know, the Ecuador game, they didn't need much there. I felt like they were just kind of playing for that draw. Ecuador played well and hard, but France, they were never really in doubt in this group.
They dominated from start to finish. Put out a 3-0 clinic against Honduras in the first game and never looked back. they've been the best team in this tournament for me so far.
They've been Jekyll so far as opposed to Hyde.
They've been phenomenal. Yeah. The 2010 fiasco is out of the mind of everyone now. I watched France play them though. I can't even remember that happening. I mean, it's just out of your mind. They've been so good. Didier Deschamps has his team clicking. They have youth. They have experience. They have goal scorers. They have talent. They have everything, the skill set. And I have to say, Rob, I think they're one of the now two or three, four favorites actually win this tournament. I think that's how good France look in this World Cup.
And when you look at the draw on the side they're on, it stacks up fairly favorably. I mean, they're playing a Nigeria side, which you did edge me in that prediction, albeit controversially.
Yeah,
again, I mean, after Dzeko's clearly onside goal that was denied against Nigeria, which would have been enough to put the Bosnians through. But either way, whoever France played here, I think we both agree that we consider them a heavy favorite in this matchup.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to have any problems here. Nigeria didn't look great. They were awful against Iran in the first game. They haven't shown me too much since. Benzema and Ribery have been phenomenal.
Not Ribery.
Ribery. Who am I missing here?
Giroud.
Yeah, they've been great. Benzema's been the guy here for me. He's been phenomenal.
I can't remember the last time I've seen him this motivated and just working the way he has. I think you're right that Deschamps pushing all the right buttons. They've kind of flip-flopped having Giroud in the starting lineup or not.
Yeah, he's come off the bench a couple of times.
I much prefer them when he starts.
I don't mind him coming off the bench because Benzema kind of plays up front. The guy, instead of Ribery, sorry, I was going to say Griezmann.
Oh, Griezmann, the youngster. Yeah.
He's been really, really good for my money and for France. And yeah, they look good. I just, you know, defensively, they look solid in midfield. They look good, you know, Kabay. Like, they look really good. I can't doubt how good this French team is. I'm surprised, pleasantly surprised at how good they are.
I am as well. What I like about what Giroud brings to the squad when he starts is I think it takes a little bit of the attention off Benzema, and they have to account for a second genuine goal threat, which opens things up a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He's an impactful player either way. I don't necessarily think there's a right or wrong way for Deschamps to play this. If I was in his shoes, I would start him. I'm with you, Matty. I think this is France's game to lose.
This is France 100%. See you in the quarterfinals.
On the topic of 100%, I'm assuming you're picking Algeria over Germany in the other matchup.
Oh, definitely. Because you're going to have Germany winning this World Cup.
Yeah. But you didn't think they'd have to go through Algeria to do it.
I did not. That was not what I expected here. You know, Germany have looked good so far. They struggled in one game when they drew, but they've won their other two games. You know, the thrashing they put on Portugal is still one of the most dominant performances in recent World Cup history.
Incidentally, it's what kept Portugal out, too.
Yeah, as well. I mean, if Portugal lose that game by a goal or two, they're probably in the next round. So, Germany looked good. Thomas Müller, 4 goals. He's tied for the first with Neymar, as you mentioned. And
somebody here, I think, picked those two as golden boot threats.
Someone did.
We're not going to name names, but it's Rob.
But Germany looked great. I think they're steamroll past Algeria here. It's a nice little Cinderella story to see Algeria in the next round. Like you said, if it had been Russia, I would have predicted Germany to steamroll them too. So
they're just too strong for
either
of these squads.
They're just too good. Period. They're probably, you know, along with France, they're the favorites outside of South American countries to win the World Cup for my money. So no problems here for Germany. They've looked good. Yes, I guess with like France, you in the quarters for Germany here.
I'm impressed with what Algeria's managed to accomplish. It is their first time out of the group stage. Huge moment for them and their country. The one thing I'll say is they should enter this game feeling extremely loose and a lot of pride. And maybe just if they can hang with Germany in that first 20, 25 minutes, just give them a good game of it. I don't think anyone can expect them to win this game, but I don't think it's completely unreasonable for them to make a good showing of themselves.
A good showing, yes. Winning, no.
Yes, I think we both agree with that one.
You know, I think this could be a
3-0. Yeah.
You know, maybe Algeria may nick a goal. I wouldn't bet on it, though. This is going to be comfortable for Germany. No problems here.
The Argentina-Switzerland matchup, I think,
this is a little tricky.
It is.
It's a little tricky for Argentina.
It's definitely interesting because the Swiss have been really up and down. We were actually exchanging texts with each other when France was absolutely decimating the Swiss, and I wrote to Maddie and I was like, these two late goals, you know, maybe the Swiss can build off of this a little bit. It looked like nothing on the score sheet. And then
did they ever?
Your boy Shaqiri followed things up with a pretty strong performance in their final game.
A little hattie to get them into the round of 16 and to beat Ecuador out. So.
A little love Matt's way now. It's not just about me and the golden goals.
So, yeah, you know, this is a tricky matchup. I think Argentina are probably the most disappointing team who are into the round of 16. I don't think they've looked all that great. Messi's got 4 goals, and with Neymar and Müller as top goal scorer in the tournament, they Edger ran in the last minute.
I'd probably say Nigeria, but I think Argentina's in the discussion. Oh, yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah. But I think Argentina are in that discussion. And then they beat Nigeria 3-2, which, you know, is a game really Argentina should be pummeling Nigeria. You know, if they're to be taken as a legit threat to win this World Cup, which they are supposed to be, and they frankly do not look like that at all.
But food for thought, Lionel Messi's performance thus far.
Oh, he's been fantastic. He's been great. You know, I mean, he won the game against Iran for them.
He's the big wild card. They always say, like, if Messi shows up, he's capable of winning games on his own. And to some extent, when you consider the Bosnia game too, which was a little bit tricky for them, it's kind of been that way.
Yeah, it has. I'm still surprised at how dominant they've been. They've just been scrapping out wins. They have 9 points somehow. I shouldn't say somehow, because they are one of the better teams here, but it hasn't been as we expected them to have 9 points. They haven't been scoring goals for fun, which is what I thought they would do. And I guess they're into the round of 16, but I don't think it's been in spectacular fashion.
I'm not fully condoning their performance, but I question how much maybe motivation they've had to this point. Like, they look at their opponent and maybe they don't take them as seriously as they should, or, you know, how much of a challenge are they going to be? I think this has the makings of being a good game, but I can't get the Swiss 5-2 loss to France, the best and most competent team in their group, out of my mind enough, especially, well, I mean, I did have Argentina going to the finals.
Argentina needs someone else to step up, though.
Where's Di Maria been?
He set up a couple of goals, but I wouldn't say he's been as noticeable as he should have been at Real Madrid. I inadvertently said Higuain played for Uruguay earlier. That's my mistake. He plays for Argentina. And he needs to show up because Sergio Aguero is possibly carrying some kind of injury. So he may or may not be as influential. So someone like Higuain should step up and be dominant. It's the Messi show. I mean, that's all it is at the end of the day.
A Swiss goal wouldn't surprise me, but I do not see Argentina losing this game.
But Swiss need someone else rather than Shaqiri to get going in this tournament.
I think Argentina comes away with the win here, maybe 3-1, and I think they're just going to pick up some steam and momentum along the way. We'll have to see how that one shakes out. The final game, Matty, is USA against your ever-impressive Belgian side.
Yeah, I'm not so confident in my Belgium making the final pick anymore, to say the least. This is going to be a good game, though. USA
very good game, I think.
Escape the group of death, if you will, beat out Portugal and Ghana to get here.
I think both better teams than Costa Rica and Greece, but yeah, both countries are going to enter this game thinking we can win this.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the USA have a great chance to get it back to a quarters. Belgium have it, you know, themselves. See, this is a great stepping stone for us to get into a quarterfinal for the first time in a long, long time. I have the edge to Belgium. I kind of almost have to, I guess. But even logically, I think Belgium are just a better side. The USA have been good in spurts and terrible in others. You know, defensively, they were awful in the Portugal game. Like, just shockingly bad at the back. Gave up 2 goals because of poor defending. But then, as on the other end of the things, they've been able to score some goals. So
some quality goals,
they,
too.
Definitely, as well. Yeah. So I think this could be the closest game of the lot, to some extent. This might be the hardest one to predict, as well.
Yeah, I've waffled on this one a lot. I've been a big fan of the Belgian squad before coming into this tournament. Not as much as you, perhaps. I think they're more apt to go on a genuine run at Euro 2016.
Yeah, that might be more realistic.
I don't know. I almost feel like the Americans have the slightest of razor-thin edges here. Penalties, again, would not surprise me, to be honest, or extra time.
Having said that about Belgium, we say how bad they've been. They had 9 points in their group. They won every game.
Okay, you can't pump their tires and then come down on my Argentina pick that hard. So their 9 points aren't any more convincing.
No, they're not. I out of the two teams who have nine, out of the teams who have 9 points, Belgium and Argentina are the least convincing of the lot. But I guess you can say Belgium have got the results they needed, albeit in less convincing fashion. USA, a win, a draw, and a loss in that order. They should have beaten Portugal, but which would have made their progression a lot more straightforward instead of having to play today to get in. But this is a close game. It's going to be a toss-up. I'm giving the edge to the Belgians just because I think overall they are a slightly better team, and I think they're just prone to make it to the quarters at least and go see where they can go from there.
It should definitely be interesting. It's fun, I guess, for us to see that both of our finals predictions are alive and well. Brazil, Argentina, Belgium, Germany. Yeah. I mean, after the way that group stage of games played itself out, I mean, I'm not taking anything for granted anymore here.
No, not at all. The group stage was wildly entertaining. This has been one of the best World Cups already.
At least for the unpredictability. I could do with maybe a little bit less of the controversy, but yeah, it's been a really high-scoring tournament as well.
It has been a ton of goals. I was just doing a quick bit of research before. There's been 121 yellow cards in this tournament so far, So people aren't afraid to get stuck in. Let's just say that.
It's been some aggressive football for sure.
It has. And, you know, there's been some good decisions. There's been some bad decisions along the way. But at the end of the day, this group stages have been wildly entertaining. And, I mean, if the round of 16 on through to the final is half as entertaining, we've had a fantastic World Cup.
Oh, for a neutral supporter, I can't imagine you asking for or witnessing much better than we've seen thus far. That about wraps it up for us today, going through the round of 16 matchups. We'll be back with you again next week to see, hopefully, Matt and I getting the majority of these correct. And we'll be previewing the next stage after that. So thanks again for tuning in and listening. We'll be joining you again next week.